Are you taking? I think I'm supposed to talk. We're doing a writing session. I'm inviting you today to consider the degree to which, okay. We're doing a writing session, inviting you to write. We could talk all session about why write as opposed to tell, the power invested in the person who's the teller, the right of that person to eliminate or select details, the authority with which you can speak your own story versus having somebody speak it for you. We could talk all hour about story in general. I could ask you, where is your story written? What book could you give me to illustrate the life that is your childhood or your young adulthood or your life now? Where's the novel? Where's the fiction? I could ask you that question. We could search our memory. We could name names, try to come up with texts that show who we are. But I'm going to not do all of that. I'm instead going to say, let's start and write. If you're here, I assume you've got words, you've got paper, and will take time to write them. The two things I do are to play umpire. One thing is to play umpire, which is ready, set, go, and then to say stop, draw a line. Let's hear what you've written. Now, you'll be invited to read from what you've written, and that's optional. So before you get nervous that somebody's going to ask you to read, let me tell you, you can always say no. In fact, I think we should practice no. Could we just practice so that when I push you and say, could you read what you've written, are you sure you don't want to read what you've written? Many writers are dying to have somebody listen to what they've written. Do you wish to read now that you can say
no?
No. And then let's try the next one. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And then let's try the third one. I said no.
I said no.
And then just for some of you that are lazy at the end of the day, let's do And then you can just shake your head. All right, so when I push you hard, you won't say that you've been forced to read. You'll be able to say no, no, no. And if you wish to keep what you've written to yourself, you now have absolute privacy. Nobody can hear it unless you read it. It's yours. May I also say that the page never speaks unless you give it to someone. So that for sometimes people say to me, but I'm not sure I should write the story. It might reflect on someone badly. It might get me in trouble. It might be a version that is only a part of the story, and I probably should tell the whole story, and I'm nervous about putting it on the page. May I tell you that the page is private, it doesn't speak, and that to find language for your experience is your right, perhaps your responsibility, and certainly gives you strength in language. Now, how many other things should we say before we begin? Having said we're going to start right away. I'm in a scarf, and I come from Edmonton, Canada, and I've been there 30 years and a little bit more, but when I start out in now, it seems like such a long time that I just say 30 years. I'm never going to change it. It's always going to be 30 years from now on. I've been there about 30 years. Followed my husband there, who was a professor at the University of Alberta in the sciences. So in the beginning, we were a scientist and a writer having dinner table conversations. That is, the scientist does all the examples, and the writer does one. The novels that you've written take one character, one situation, one place, one time. The scientist takes enough data to make generalizations about all stones of this nature, right? This makes for interesting dinner conversation. I'm giving you paper back here. And then the first thing I'd like you, if you need it, please get a pen, please get paper. We all need to do this, or I'm inviting you all to do this.
I almost needed to borrow a pen, so I have great sympathy with anybody who didn't bring one.
Let's do facts about myself. Let's start with that one. Put at the top of the page the date, please. Then tonight we're emphasizing community. That writing is a way of making community, inserting new people in community, and I want to demonstrate this to you because you can use it in your communities at home, whether congregation or family. So let's just start for about 2 to 3 minutes, really briefly. And I want you to put at the top facts about myself. It's June 20th, almost the longest day. Facts about myself.
And would you start? Write as many as you can, and please lie about one.
At least one.
This is a list. Facts about myself, you know your subject matter. You can order them, you can leave out, you can put in, and you can make up one. In fact, I'm requiring you or asking you to invent one.
Okay.
Lie. And if you like lying, keep on doing it. That leaves one. It's long on the list that you can do. You have no more than a minute left. This is about me, myself, and I. One lie. Finish the line you're on. I know you're not done. There's a whole lot more to say about yourself. Would you draw a line and shift from I to she or he? Subject is the same, myself. But now, under the line, would you work at saying she? For example, myself, I could say, she is at Holton Village for the 10th time. She is teaching in a room at 6:30. You shift and call yourself he or she. Another minute or two, more facts or a lie in this section as well, if you like.
So different facts, not the same ones.
Not the same ones.
Yeah.
That would be something you could do, but try for a different one.
And you'd accomplish the same purpose, just get some more out.
We're going to do 2 hours work in one tonight, so. Okay, would you finish the line you're on and draw another line? And under this line, which just shows you've been interrupted, would you answer the question, how was that to write? How was this to do?
If you like, you can compare the feeling you had between saying I and between saying she or he. Or you can say, this was frustrating to look at my life. Or you can say, this was easy. Or you can say, I wish I hadn't done this. I want an answer to the question, how was this to do? What did that feel like? What were you thinking or feeling as you wrote? And here you can lie too. From now on, you can lie all the time. But in answer to the question, I teach fiction, so I'm always pushing people into fiction, but you can stick with the truth if you insist. Below the line, how did I feel as I wrote? What was I thinking as I wrote? Your mind is thinking at a rapid-fire rate while you're writing. There's probably 1,000 words for every word you put down. I just made up those statistics. You were thinking a lot of things. Record what they were. When you've finished, you can write well done and put your name. There is no other supporter for the lonely Lone Ranger life of the artist than an artist herself or himself. The act of writing is a creative act. All creative acts are done by usually one person, me, myself, and I. You're a committee of three, me, myself, and I, and you must constantly give yourself affirmation for having done it. Well done, you did it. I don't mean this facetiously. I have a friend who has her computer program to say, well done, Gloria, and she won the Governor General in Canada, which is the same as a Pulitzer Prize. So you see what's going to happen to this.
Therefore, this is the scientist and the artist arguing. You know, the scientist would say, one example does not make the law. But I say, one example, Gloria did it, so can you.
Win the prize. All right, would you talk to your neighbor for like an exchange, a telegram exchange? And the question is, please tell the person you're speaking to what you wrote about. Don't read from it, but I know you wrote about yourself, but I'm wanting you to tell them, well, what about yourself? Were you back in childhood? Were you now? And you get about 30 seconds each, so don't worry about having time to fill up. I mean, not enough. These two, I'm appointing you because I like control. That's why I teach you. Those two, please. These two, please. These two, please. Facts, and we're going to make a community portrait here. Yes, this is all about you, but
But if we put it together, it's about us. So let's go around the room, choose whichever line you want. You have that option. Any one of the lines you wrote, and we'll make a portrait. So I'll try not to say anything in between. So we hear it as if it's one paragraph on us. Would you give your name as you read? Before you read?
No, don't give your name.
Let's just hear your information. Start here very loudly, please.
I wrote that it was very interesting and fun to explore myself from a position outside of myself, and that I had trouble with the lying part, and maybe it's a Norwegian in me.
Well, blame it on the Norwegian.
Yeah.
How many of you have known a Norwegian that lies? She's trying to suggest none of us do.
Yeah. This is below the line, right? That what you just gave me is below the line. Am I right?
Yes.
Can you give me a fact above the line?
Okay.
Fact above the line.
Anyone, all of you, look and have one ready, because we're just going to go around contributing.
She's trying to stretch herself.
She's trying to stretch herself. Thank you.
I am Choctaw and Simshia, American Indian, Alaska Native.
I'm American Indian, Alaska Native. And will you give me in your language so I can hear it again?
Simshia and Choctaw.
Simshia and Choctaw. Did I say it right? Thank you. Next.
I guess I'm a lover of photography.
I'm a lover of photography. Will you put just what's on the page? Did you write, I guess I am a lover of photography?
No, I just wrote photographer.
Photographer, okay, good. Let me just see exactly as it's written down, so we get the words on the page.
She is going on a hike with friend, lover, husband, so I'll follow the lake.
Thank you. Next.
I enjoy hiking and rowing my rowboat.
Thank you.
I married a widower with three children and talked 17 more years before retirement.
Thank you.
I wrote poems to relax and publish.
Thank you.
Like Duke Ellington, music is my mistress, and sometimes she is kind to me.
Sometimes she's kind to me.
I've lived on and loved the soil of Singida, Tanzania.
I've lived on and loved the soil of Tanzania. Thank you.
Instead of coming to Holden 21 years ago and doing the community report.
Thank you.
Yes.
A traditional woman. A traditional woman. Thank you.
A student at St. Olaf.
A student at St. Olaf.
Likes to knit.
Likes to knit.
I love to go on cross-country road trips.
I love to go cross-country road trips. Thank you.
Grew up a farm girl.
Grew up a farm girl. Thank you.
She likes to be alone, especially to explore.
She likes to be alone, especially to explore. Thank you.
First in the family.
First in the family.
She braids flowers around her toes and speaks in deer talk.
She braids flowers around her toes and speaks in deer talk. I'm sorry if I didn't repeat that to you. I meant to repeat after everyone. One of the things, thank you for all of you for doing this. One of the things you give a writer, or you ask for if you're a writer, is I want to hear my words echoed back to me. I'm talking to you as if you're in a process of beginning whatever it is you're going to make this week, and it might just be this hour I see you, but whenever you're going to make something, one of the things that enables the writer to continue is to hear his or her words back again, that your ear hears what you just put on the page. So if somebody comes and says, what do you think of this? I just finished it. You could say, I'll read it aloud to you, or I'm going to read aloud the 10 sentences that I want you to hear, their rhythm or their image or their sound. And then you're not critiquing, you're letting them hear their language back. So we'll do this for each other, which is echo back, and I'll teach you one or two other more things that we're going to do as a writer is progressing through their work. Thank you for doing that. That's round one, and I'm going to try to give you about four rounds of writing before we finish tonight. This is what I would call my introductory evening, and the rest of the week will be longer periods of writing. I'd like you to be able to have a page of writing every day after a session such as this one. Deep breath. How many of you read Me Alive?
Your what?
Oh, my. Just curious. Okay, thank you. When I say lie as a fiction writer, I'm inviting you to invent. That to me, writing what happened is on one side of the teeter-totter, and writing what could have happened is on the other side of the teeter-totter. Now, if you want to make sure you're never bored in life, consider that writing what has happened in your life will take you years and years and years. And then what might have happened and didn't will take you years and years and years, and you'll never be fired from this job of writing. You'll never be paid very much.
I hate to tell you. But if you think about the life of a writer, this is no small thing. I think all of fiction is written because somebody said how it should be. Let's not write how it is or how it was, but have a vision of how it could be. So when I invite you to lie, it isn't as, what's the word, rebellious as it may sound like, transgressive rather. It's inviting you to consider another alternative. What might be the case? What could be the case? And what did I wish were the case? And that is the beginning of desire and is the beginning of the possibility of writing fiction. Now, I don't assume you're all here to write fiction. I said we were going to be doing memoir most of this week, so let's do another round of work. And let's do it in the following way. This is round two. I want you to write on your page, this period in my life is like. We have a door here, I'll get that open. This period in my life is like. And then leave it blank, please. And the second, as soon as you've got that, there's a second thing. This period in my life, if I open this, it's not going to ring, is it?
No.
This period in my life is like, leave it blank. The second is, this period in my life began, and put a date. No, don't put a date now, sorry, you'll be looking for a date in a minute. Just leave it blank for now. This period in my life began, leave it blank. And the third thing is, this is what's been going on in this period in my life. You don't have to write that down. The third thing is to write a narrative description of what's going on. Now let me say why we're doing this. We're grounding ourselves, the ground we stand on, in our own experience, before we go further in writing. First of all, I'm asking you to use a metaphor. This period in my life is like, and I might say a roller coaster. That is, I'll give you a picture, a concrete picture. I won't tell you anything more about my life, except roller coaster. But could you make some deductions? This is the function of metaphor. One single word is that you bring your experience of roller coaster, I bring my experience of roller coaster. I don't tell you anything personal, but you've got an image of this, don't you? Perhaps danger. Well, what is your image for this period in your life? And it goes right with the second one, because that is to ask you, what is this period in your life? Is it since you got to Holden? Is it since the turn of the century? Is it since you got married, or got divorced, or retired, or was hired? So I'm asking you to consider the period that you want to think about when you say this period in my life is like. And then you'll have time to write a few sentences. This is what's been going on in my life. Any questions? I'm asking you to play with a metaphor to describe your life. That is a picture. You need one word, two words, three words that describes your life right now. Any questions? If you had to draw a picture of this moment in your life, what would it be? A canoe capsizing? A canoe on the rapids? A canoe tied up at the dock? A canoe in the evening? A canoe setting out in the morning? That's an example. Use canoe if you want to. But look for one thing, one picture, for your life. Now, begin. You can do your date first if you like. And you have a little bit of time to do what I call a journal entry. This is what's been going on in my life during this period. Some of you might go back 20 years, some of you might go back 20 hours. Thank you. to the end of the next sentence. I'll be interrupting you again. Each of these is one you can carry on your own. Will you draw a line? And as a writer, I recommend this to you. Whatever writing you're doing, draw a line and immediately answer the question, what's I thinking and feeling? Because out of that, you might find a new direction that you might go. So I'm asking you the question, draw a line. What was that like to write? I want this to become absolutely ritual for you. Write a page, write for an hour, and don't finish until you've said to yourself, what was that like to write? What was I thinking and feeling? Because if you want to write, you need to generate new material, and this is one way to generate new material. Oh, there's a new point, there's a new paragraph, there's a new subject. I'll catch it right now. This is where you take your notes and talk back to yourself. The kind of writing I'm talking about tonight is where nobody's asking for it and nobody expects it, but you decide to create something and unleash it on the world. That's how most books get written. Novels aren't commissioned. They're written, and then they're submitted. For this first novel. If you think it's commissioned, probably I take that back. But the novels that are hatched by the writer are unknown. The poems are unknown. Nobody knows what you can do. And hence, if you feel compelled to do it, or chosen to do it, what are all the ways you can support yourself to maintain the habit and to encourage yourself and to shape the writing you're doing? I'm just assuming that if you're here, you've got a relationship with language and story, and that the directions you might want to go are many, but we're going to do a few tonight. So draw a line, please, and answer the question again. What was this like to write? You might say, what did I discover in that paragraph I just wrote? What was I thinking about? This is private for you. So you're on hold. Is there something that you're reflecting on or thinking about that you want to make a note of right here? Sometimes this is the place where I put, don't forget to do the mother's side of the story, or don't forget to put in the description of the stream. You know, I make notes here. Question is general. What were you thinking or feeling? It's always the same questions as you wrote just now. I believe that the writing is waiting to be written in almost a mysterious, mystical way. It's waiting to be written, and you have the choice to allow it or refuse it. And this below the line is your discussion with yourself. That's the bad news. That's all you've got. Only one of you can do this. Writing of the kind I'm talking about is never a communal effort. So me, myself, not. Okay. Let's take a few seconds more to finish that. I have to admit I'm usually really pushing you. I'm accustomed to 2.5-hour sessions, so I sort of decided we hip-hop fast and hope you can manage on this end of the day, after dinner, on heat, but that you'll be fresh and lively, nevertheless. 100% so far, I give you. So if you can also just put one word below the line, but some response to yourself. And then I'd like to go around and have you answer the question, this period in my life is like, and just give your image, which is a way of naming yourself into the room, solely with a picture. Who would like to start? If you're confused or lost, it doesn't matter. Here.
Like a sailing boat in high winds.
Thank you. Like a sailing boat in high wind. On the lake or the sea? No, I know. I'm asking you for one more thing. Do you see it on a lake or a sea? Or the sea?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Do you see it?
A still pool.
A still pool. This period of my life is like a still pool. Thank you.
This period of my life is like a mirror.
Like a mirror. You meant like this. Show me.
I thought about one of my mirrors. It's just a reflection of
reflection in mirrors. Creating my life is like a mirror. Thank you. Canoe evening. I'm sorry, I just didn't know the first word. This period of my life is like a canoe in the evening. Thank you.
It's like being at the intersection of two trailheads.
Intersection of two trailheads. Okay, that. What's the, you know something about being at the intersection of two trails. What's he faced with?
A
decision, a choice. We would assume. We assume, all right. I'm asking you no more, but you bring to bear your experience and you can read into. There's one picture, yes, here.
I also had said meter, but in a different sense, that I wasn't satisfied that that's what I really wanted. I was thinking of meter as a reflection, but a reflection back of past happenings.
Oh, okay. As a memory.
Yes.
A meter of memory. Okay, thank you.
A slingshot at the moment of release.
A slingshot at the moment of release. There's anybody who doesn't know, there's energy there, right? Those are dangerous, isn't it? But she doesn't have to say more. The poet in particular, as a writer, allows the ambiguity to go out. We might get a meaning other than the intended, but that's the risk. And that's the pleasure of it, so thank you.
Being on trial.
Being on trial. Are you in court?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sardines, not the fish, the game.
Not the fish, the game, okay? This period of my life is like the game sardines. In here?
I found Medicare was the hardest thing to do. I didn't get to do it later. And this period in my life is like a box which is waiting to be opened.
Like a box which is waiting to be opened. All right. As far as I'm concerned, when I start a writing semester or seminar or class, that is all the qualification you need to continue with writing, is the ability and the execution of one image such as this. People come and say, but do I have to have a degree and I'm not a writer and I haven't finished high school and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. The fact that all of you did one image makes you eligible to do whatever more you want to do in writing. That's like the litmus test, like the driver's, getting your driver's license. You did one image, it applies to your life. Did we get everybody? Did we miss anybody? What's happened here? Did I miss?
Because you started over here.
I was thinking of the first round. I'm sorry, because I thought, oh, she started. No, she didn't. Not this round. Aye, thank you. Please, keep going.
Like a seasoned fishing vessel that has come back after a long season and docked.
Seasoned fishing vessel coming back after a long session and docked, and is it full?
Uh-huh.
It got fish.
Yes.
It's full, thank you. What kind of fish?
Salmon.
She said salmon as if I'd know. Okay, salmon. I should have known. A salmon. Thank you. And here.
Haze. Not dense fog, but haze. The soft mist that shrouds things, blurring the edges.
Okay, haze, fog. If you've got a pencil later on, I draw this image. If you need to borrow pens or paper, do so and draw this. This is your marker at this point in your life. It's almost long to stay. Mid-year, it's kind of a major moment. You're back in the year and forward in the year, and you've got an image for it tonight. Here's
a slightly malfunctioning elevator.
How did
you just wind up on a different floor.
Not the one you intended to be.
Are you between floors? Possibly sometimes, yes.
This is not even slightly malfunctioning. It's like you either are or you
aren't. All the time, but once in a while, it just moves to a different spot.
Elevator, slightly malfunctioning, yes.
This period of my life is like a Sunday afternoon drive with my Uncle Julius.
Oh. Sunday afternoon drive. What season?
Spring.
Spring. With Uncle Julius.
In the Redwoods.
In the Redwoods. I was going to say prairie or mountains in the Redwoods. All right. You've answered already. Thank you.
This period of my life is like the structure of a water slide.
Structure of a water slide. Are you on the water slide?
Nope.
You're like the structure. And back here at the table?
Well, I'm having a real hard time. I was planning that I was a comfortable boat ride with some both placid and exciting side trips.
Doesn't sound like a hard time. Yeah, boat trip, but I understand. Hard time to find it. Yes,
it's a good part. It's a good time.
Thank you.
Okay. This period in my life is like a brakeless car going downhill.
Brakeless car going, not restless, brakeless,
yes.
Right? Going downhill.
Not brakeless,
this, this hill, is it populated? Is it urban? Is it rural? Is it mountain? Is it city?
It's a city.
It's a city.
It's a city.
So it is a...
It's quite populated.
It's populated and no brakes. You should all avoid it.
You should avoid it.
Thank you. We'll worry on your behalf.
Yes, you.
The spirit of my life is like a tangled knot slowly unraveling.
Tangled knot slowly unraveling. And we began.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Deep breath. Please. Let's do the dates. We can go right around the room with the dates. Just the dates. And then below that, you've got the right to write your journal, and that's private. Or you can read it to somebody that you know and love. Could be yourselves. But let's do the date. Can we just get your dates? I said, when did this period start? Who'd like to begin?
Start with saying first. Began the spring my house was being remodeled.
Spring my house was being remodeled. Here.
2000.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
When I became a father.
May 29th, 2005.
May 29th, 2005.
When I retired from my job.
When I retired.
Glacier National Park, 2002.
2002 Glacier.
February 15th, 2008. 1987.
1987.
April 30th, 2005.
Okay. And here, 2001.
2001.
October 2000.
2001.
On my retirement.
Wait. I was hearing wind, which is always ask the writer a question.
It began upon my retirement.
Mm-hmm. We could look to and guess at that somewhere in the last 5 years. Do you want to tell us the date?
January 2nd, 2001.
All right. Why do I ask for more information? Because whoever else is retired can compare, okay, how long he's been retired, how long have I been retired. One of the, when you said when, you were asking a question, I want to know more. I want to know more. And those are the two things. This is a very tiny little point we're going to put in here. Those are the two things that I invite you to do for writers and that you ask other people to do for you. Tell me what you want to hear more about. I want to hear more about the date that you retired so I can imagine how many years you've been retired so I can see it, so I can place it in my own history. Two things always appropriate for a writer. I'll read it back to you so you can hear your words. I'll ask you a question. Ask for this from someone if you want to make serious your writing life. Yes?
Last summer when I retired for the second
time. When I retired for the second time, all right? Oh, I'm lost now. We went around this way, didn't we?
June 13th, 2003.
2002.
Around when I turned 40, fall of 2000.
That's good you told, because I hate to guess on something. You're wrong. You're in trouble, aren't you? Thank you. About the time I turned 40. All right, take a deep breath. I've asked you to define yourself as a metaphor. I've asked you to give information about yourself as if it were a list and notice what comes up. I've asked you, in other words, to stir your story. How many of you had strong emotion around something that we did? We've done very little, but how many of you had emotion stirred, that is feeling? One. Two, three, four, five. I would guess that the major points in your life, the facts you surface, have a whole lot more feeling around them. May I say that in this kind of writing, which is expressive writing, which is the writing of memoir and story and poem, that feeling is the issue. To speak out of feeling and to speak to other person's feelings. Now, government reports don't usually give a damn about what you're feeling or what the reader feels. They, I think, assume you're going to feel fed up by the time you finish your report or your income tax, but they're not interested in how you feel. The income tax people don't say, below the line of doing your income tax, would you say how you felt when you're thinking about, which is the question I'm asking you, and it's a huge thing. How many pieces of writing, how many times have you spoken where you are asked, how did you feel when you, I could say, how did you feel when you preached last night? In fact, I sort of said that to you. How was it for you? But it's not the primary response. Usually I'd go up to the preacher last night and say, what? I really liked your sermon, and those who didn't like it don't speak to you, or they say, I really hated it. Maybe they do that never, sometimes. But nobody says, how did you feel? And I'm asking you as a writer that the feelings you have in going into story are the fuel that burns the story. And that to try to shut those down, or to say, I had tears, I'm not going there, is to lose the source of your story. I say to you, and I think I can say this categorically, that where there are tears, there's more story. It's that you haven't felt as much as you want to feel, or haven't said as much as you want to say. The second thing is, if you can bring the reader to tears in this kind of writing, you're really up there with the greats. If you cry yourself, bring yourself to tears on any subject matter is one thing, but to elicit tears in somebody else, this is what expressive writing is about. How many of you have ever cried when you've read a piece of fiction, or a memoir, or a poem? Did you apologize to the reader? Did you apologize? Did you feel apologetic? Probably not. I would guess that one of the reasons you read was to be moved. How does that writer create the effect of tears on you is partly through acknowledging their own feelings. If you want to write, you are invited, if not required, to go deep into the awareness and the relationship and the understanding and the expression of your own feelings. Norwegian or not, pardon me. That may sound very banal, but I have people that read aloud in classes or read a story for a public event and they apologize if they cry. It's the highest thing you can bring story to, is visible proof of deep feeling, speaking out of deep feeling to deep feeling. Now, there's a whole lot more to say about that, but I'm just giving you the headline of the chapter on deep feeling. If you've got deep feeling on the list of anything you've done tonight, I'd go and write a whole 10 more pages about it tonight. Just write it as it were your exercises, piano exercises. Okay, I'm going to turn a little bit from that to this on the board. And then I'm going to invite you to do one thing more. I want you to consider autobiography and memoir. Autobiography we all learned in school, I think. And the rules for that was it's written by the person, auto. And the characteristics of autobiography, I'm sorry, this could be further over. I consider four compared to the four that are characteristic of memoir. Because what I want to argue to you or persuade you of is that you all have a memoir in you. You have a memoir that is complete and entire and distinctive and one of a kind and urgent and needed and important, and the only difference between having it published and not having it published is whether you choose to write it or not. I'll say that again. The only difference between a published writer and an unpublished writer is that a published writer is published. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, it's hard to find a publisher, but the fact is you choose. And as autobiography, not all of us would fit the criteria of the traditional definition. It's the whole life, that is, written at the end of the life. Bertrand Russell sitting writing his memoirs in his British estate. Or the outer life, that is the public life, is typical of autobiography. The third thing is written at the end of life. Well, they're kind of the same, whole life and end of life. So that the whole spread of one's life. And it's very often, may I say, written about the famous, by the famous. Katharine Hepburn writes Me, a very humble title. N.E. That's her autobiography. We buy it because we know Katharine Hepburn. On the other hand, every one of you, probably, I would guess, that not all of us fit all of these criteria. We may have the rich and famous here, then if we do, tell me later. But if we don't, can I say categorically that every one of you has a memoir? Every one of you can write about a part of your life, that part of your life when you were a parent, that part of your life when you were a student, when you were a law student, when you were in Tanzania, when you were at Holden. Everybody has a part of a life they can make into a memoir, and I'm going to flag about 10 of those kinds of memoirs before we finish tonight. We're not going to write them, we're going to just look at the names of them. The inner life is always important in memoir. That is, what's going on inside you? What were the feelings? What was the thinking? What was the experience? What was the reflection? Not where you went and who you saw and who you had lunch with as the prime minister, but what you were thinking and feeling. The third one is it's can be written early or mid or end of life, anytime. A 15-year-old can write a memoir. A 90-year-old can write a memoir. You can write it at the age you're at now.
And the last one that I think is so important, it's an ordinary life that isn't famous or public when the book is written. Who can give me an example of a memoir of somebody who's ordinary, not known, and becomes known because of the memoir?
Just read Catfish and Mandela.
Okay. I don't know that one. Catfish and Mandela.
Yeah.
By?
Andrew Pham.
Okay. Memoir, and the person's name will be known because of the memoir he writes. There's one called Diary of Anne Frank. Unknown until she wrote, or it was published for her. She wrote it, but published for her the memoir. Unmistakable is the name of Anne Frank because of the book she published, not before, but after. Anyone else? Liars Club. Pardon?
Kathleen Norris.
Kathleen Norris was unknown. She was a bit known as a poet, but not too known, and then she wrote the memoir of coming to South Dakota. Kathleen Norris, if you don't know her. She goes home to pack up her grandmother's house in South Dakota and stays. Very reflective and very much part of a religious life because then she joins the Benedictine, or is it Cistercian? Okay, another one, Liars Club. Do any of you know that? It was maybe 5 years ago. It was on the bestseller list. Liars Club is the family, by the way. That's right. Nice title. Or maybe it doesn't apply to any of you. The Liars Club is what she called her family. Mary Carr. She writes the story of growing up in Texas with this family, and her name now is known, but it wasn't known before the memoir. So you too can be here in the number four. An ordinary person. Well, I'm sorry to call you ordinary.
Nobody's insulted, I just
one of the folks. And then you can write the memoir. Now, tell me. Oh, no, I want to do something else. I want to make you work until right to the end. And that is, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of two memoirs. And I'm going to ask you to catch any line and start right about a paragraph. In other words, I'm asking you to borrow their opening and write a paragraph that could be your opening. So the line that opens it is like Once Upon a Time. But that's not this line, but it's going to work like that, okay? I want to introduce these two memoirs, and I want you to borrow their words and write one paragraph, whichever one applies to you most. First one is by Richard, and some of you may know this, it's the only memoir that I know of, and there may be more, by a clergyman, Richard Lischer, L-I-S-C-H-E-R. He's written Open Secrets. He begins like this, and please listen to it. He's still alive and well, so it's in this last century. He starts like this. I head a parish in a small town in southern Illinois, not far from the confluence of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, where the Missouri shows brown and the Mississippi foams yellow, and the two make a big river the color of cream soda. I head a parish. Does anybody hear similar to somebody else's opening?
As a Princeton.
Yes. Give us the mic.
I had a farm in Africa.
And I think this is deliberate, that he borrows that and says, remember, she left home for Africa, I left home for this small town. And if you don't recognize it, it doesn't matter. If you do, you get a double one. It's like a chord instead of a single note. I had a parish in a small town in southern Illinois. Could you write down I had a, and don't fill in the blank. I don't know what you had. You might have had a house, you might have had a horse. You might have had a job. You might have had a home. I had a is the opening of this one. It's almost like Once Upon a Time I lived in. But I'm asking you to use I had a. Now, this one, I apologize, is not the absolute opening, which I said it would be. This is over in the bookstore. I had them order it for you. This is a memoir. He's writing memoir of that church. He flashes back to seminary, but largely it's his years there. She, Nora Gallagher, G-A-L-L, you should have her name, G-A-L-L-A-G-H-E-R, she takes, her whole memoir is 1 year in the life of a parish in Santa Barbara, California. She's given up on the church, she decides to go back. And the book she writes about it is the liturgical year. It's not January, February, March, April, it's Pentecost, Epiphany. What's that long one in the middle? Pentecost.
Trinity.
She goes by the liturgical year, and I want to read you about three lines from hers, and then borrow either one, and we're going to write for about 5 minutes. So,
So pick any subject you like, but I'm inviting you to borrow an open line and see where it takes you. Hers that I'm going to read from is Advent. I came to this church 5 years ago as a tourist and ended up a pilgrim. Not a bad line, is it? It's page 11, so it's right near the opening. I came to this church 5 years ago as a tourist and ended up a pilgrim. What I want you to borrow is I came to. It could be I came to Holden first. I came to. It's three words. And see if it enables anything for you. So the one is I had a parish. And this one is I came to. I'm going to read a little more of the paragraph. I came to this church 5 years ago. What I wanted at the time when I walked in the door for the late morning mass was peace. I believe I understood peace at that time as comfort. What I got was the peace of God that passes all understanding. As the old Irish hymn goes, the peace of God, it is no peace. And she writes how her life was turned upside down, which wasn't very peaceful, by walking in the door of that church. So you can move towards a congregation. I came to a congregation, to hold to a person, to a place, to a job. But leap in. Don't plan this. May God deliberately give you no preparation time. See which one takes you. I had a, or I came to. See how much you can write in 5 minutes.
This could be the beginning of your memoir that we'll all be buying in 5 years, so pay attention, try hard, work well. Don't make any spelling mistakes.
That's a joke. See how much you can get down and let go where the pen moves you, and if you get stuck, read it over and keep going. If this doesn't work for you, pick your own. But you can't not write.